Father, we thank you, God, for your presence in this place. We thank you, even as we lift up your name in this place, Lord, that we experience your presence, Lord, that we can experience, as your word says, as the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. And I pray even tonight, Lord, as this afternoon, as we lift up your name, that you would draw us close to you, God, in the name of Jesus. That you draw every person in this place closer to you, in Jesus' name, by your Holy Spirit. And our Father, I pray for your peace upon every person here. I thank you, Lord, that those with questions can boldly ask you, Father. Those that have doubts, Father, we thank you for just a reassurance tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for your presence. And thank you that even through Psalm 91, you come and just affirm us again, and you confirm your commitment to protection and blessing, and that you surround us like a shield, God, in Jesus' name. And thank you tonight, Father, that we can ask that you not only, that we not only receive some information, God, but Holy Spirit, that you'd give us impartation, Lord, that you'd impart to us something of your heart, Lord, of who you are, Lord, something of your design for us as a family and at the body of Christ, God. And we are, our desire, Lord, is to become more like you, Father. We thank you that you shape us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Last week, we had a look at the whole idea of the shepherd. Sorry, I'm just trying to move this so that I can see everybody. I'll just move a little bit back. And we started looking at how each of us have a part to play in that, and even though God is, you know, Jesus is the chief shepherd, and you know, the Father appointed him as chief shepherd, we also have a part to play. And this evening I want to look at a few specific things around that, and just getting a little bit practical around it. And it's an interesting road, if you can call it that, that God is taking us, you know, becoming more like a family, but now also looking at how we relate to one another, and how, you know, and what does, you know, what does it practically mean in a different way? And it can be challenging, but it's the Word of God, and let's just trust God tonight, just to connect with His heart for us. Amen. Okay, so let's read from John 13. I'm just gonna put this on here, so I don't go until 7. There you go. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And this is a well-known scripture we love quoting, especially the second bit. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And if we look at verse 34, firstly says this is a new commandment. Okay, so this is, this is not a just a by the way. It's kind of just Jesus. If you look at how he talks to the disciples, he kind of always, he very often says it very straight. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." And then if it stopped there, do you see that it would have been pretty reasonable, nothing weird, all good? But then he adds standard, or how he wants us to love one another. It says that you love one another as I have loved you. Now immediately this takes this commandment into a whole different dimension, a whole different this is now a different ball game, because now he's given it a standard, and now he said Christ is the standard. The love of Jesus is the standard, and he's saying the way that I love you, the way that I lay down my life for you, I want you to love one another in the same way. Now, do you see immediately when he makes Christ the standard, it's basically, he says this is unattainable for us, okay? And we're going to look at how then is it possible to obey this command. But let's look at the second bit there. We see there that Jesus is concerned about what the world sees when they look at us. Or he, let me say it rather like this, he wants the world to get the right message when the world looks at his body, not only us, the local body, but the larger body of Christ. And he says here, he wants the world to see something when they look at the body. He wants the world to see that we are his disciples by the way we treat one another. Okay, so it's interesting. You know, we can see there. This is part of Jesus' marketing strategy. Okay, he's saying, for us to you know, for you to represent me, for you to represent the Father, you need to have this. We need to get this thing right. Okay, how do we obey this command to love one another in the way that Christ has loved us? If this is basically impossible, okay? Let's read from Romans 5 and let's see how indeed this will be possible. Romans 5 verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So immediately we see here that it is indeed possible, because by the Holy Spirit that was given to us, God has poured, He's poured His love into our hearts, okay? And now, it's also good to notice here, you know, in the more charismatic part of the church, and more Pentecostal, whichever you want to call it, we often see a focus on the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the manifestation of the gifts in different ways. And I remember when I was born again, when I, you know, had to make a decision, I realized, wow, I need to choose whether I want to follow Jesus or not. This happened in a church where at the time this was big, okay? There was all kinds of things happening. It was in a time where there was this move of the Holy Spirit, and there were a lot of things happening, a lot of manifestations of the power of the Holy Spirit, some authentic, some not. But, you know, some people, it was crazy at times. But and what followed from that is sometimes a focus so much on the manifestation that we lost track of what the purpose was and what the motivation was behind it. And here it's very clear that the power of the Holy Spirit is primarily, and the, you know, even here we see that it's the love of God that's been poured out into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. So those gifts and, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit is not for us to do tricks or to impress anybody, but to minister to one another and to minister to people in the love, in the real love of God. And that's amazing, because, you know, it's often we tend to focus on the gifts and that stuff. But I've noticed when I focus and I ask God to help me to grow and to walk in that love that He's poured into my heart, then it naturally flows out into whatever gift is required. So when, you know, whatever the need is in a situation, if I'm really walking in the love of God, then it will manifest in some kind of a way that will bless that person. Are you with me this afternoon? I've mentioned there before, but there were one or two experiences I had which helped me to make the shift. You know, they helped me to make a shift from, okay, I want to minister to somebody, but if I'm trying to do this in my own understanding or my own capacity, I'm going to fall badly short of what needs to happen here. And I don't know if you remember, I've told you, some of you might have heard the story of us ministering in the red light district in Vienna. And I must admit, it took me a bit of out of my comfort zone. You know, I grew up in a protected environment, and this was something I wasn't used to. Okay, and it was in the daytime. Okay, but still, lots of drug addicts around. Lots of, you know, and people could see people come there to deal drugs and to and all kinds of other things. But I just remember standing to one side and really struggling with not being able to identify with what I was seeing and not being able to identify where these people were coming from. And I could really see God there, and I could say, Lord, okay, I need to depend on You now. I need to see how You see these people. I need to experience what's on Your heart for every person here. And I tell you, that's one of those kind of watershed moments in my life where I could really experience the heart of God for the people there. And I stood there weeping like a baby for a few minutes. I just struggled to compose myself, but I really just had I was just overwhelmed by God's love for those broken people. And and after that, it was so easy for me to go and to share and to go and chat with them and go and, you know, and minister to them, because I had an understanding of what God's heart was for them. And in the same way, You know, we can talk about it and we can discuss it, but we see in the Word that we have received this by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we recognize that it's something that we have to really be dependent upon God in. Okay. And in terms of us looking out for one another, as we mentioned last week, there's obviously two parts to this. You know, there's the love of God for the world. God loved the world so much, and He still loves the world, that He made a way for every person to be reconciled to Him. Okay, so there was this divide between us and God because of our sin, because of our shortfall, because of, you know, the Scripture says we all fall short of the glory of God. And then He basically, through His Son Jesus, reconciled us to the Father. But so our love is not only for those in the body and in, you know, in the family, but just as much this love just as much manifests towards those that still need to be reconciled to the Father. And so if we look at what we saw last week with the picture of, you know, the sheep and the story of the shepherd that runs after the one and leaves the 99 behind. And we said, you know, what happens to the 99? Are they gonna be okay? Type of thing. And remember, we said that what needs to happen is the 99 have to look out for one another as well. And that's, I feel, that the key for the season that we're in, for us to come to a place of maturity in our relationships, that we kind of get this principle of depending on God in a way that we can really love one another in a way that is practical, in a way that is, that we can grow and walk in the purpose that God has for us as a family. Okay, still with me? So we need to kind of really walk in the dependence upon God in this. But let's look at 1 John 1 and to look at a few more practical points. 1 John 1 verse 5 to 9. This is the message which we have heard from Him, from Jesus, and declared to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, there's quite a bit in here, and I'm just going to lift out a few of the practical points specifically regarding to what we're talking about. But look where he starts. He says, okay, firstly, we've heard this from Christ. Okay, this is also part of the instruction from Jesus. And he says that God is in the light. That's the whole 50-50 thing again. There's no way that you can walk in God's light and walk in the world. You can't do of one foot here and one foot there. It doesn't work. People try it for short times, but it's just, you know, it doesn't bring life. And he says, you know, you're kind of deceiving yourself if you think you can do both. So he says, God is light and there's no darkness in Him. And then he says, then he goes on. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, there's specific things that happen if we walk in this way. Okay, now we will look at a little bit at what it means to walk in the light. But firstly, he says there. Now, yeah, well, let's quickly look at that. What it means to be, you know, to walk in the light, to walk in God's way, to walk, and I see this as a transparent way. So, in a way that we are open to receive from others, we are what we call accountable. In our relationships, in the family, I'm not saying you have to be, you know, everybody must know everything about you. But you know, I believe there's a place where, in the family of God, in our account, you know, in the relationships in small group, for instance, that there can be a place of trust where you can live in a relationship where somebody, that you can be an open book to somebody, that you can share that the stuff that is difficult to share in a safe environment, and you know that there's a place of trust. And there's a place of security there. So we're talking about a transparency. We're talking about a kind of bringing stuff into the light. We're going to look at a few more aspects of that. But let's look at what happens. Okay, when we walk in the light, firstly, it says that we have fellowship with one another. So there's a new dimension that comes into the way we relate to one another if it is in the light. Okay, so you can have some relationship and kind of not share much, and you kind of have a relatively, if you want to call it, shallow relationship. But he says there, real fellowship, godly fellowship, happens when we are in the light. When we are at a place where I can say to Jacobus, listen, Jacobus, this is what I'm struggling with, or this is what I'm trusting for. You know, let's walk this road together. This is who I am. No secrets. And that's when real fellowship happens. That's when a fellowship happens that is that facilitates the love of God in a very real way. Okay? And then we see a second thing there. We see the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now I've experienced this personally, and some of you might have had the same, is that when, you know, you might have been struggling with something for some time, for maybe like a cycle of destruction, or, you know, habits or whatever, and it seems like you just can't get rid of this thing. And we often experience that there's such a pressure on us, and there's such a, you know, the accuser comes with guilt and with shame and all kinds of things, and he kind of keeps us in this place, and we don't want to tell anybody because we're ashamed. You know, we don't want to tell anybody because we're afraid people are going to think we're terrible, and, you know, that whole fear of rejection thing. But what I've experienced is that the moment that one brings this stuff into the light and one brings it into accountability, the power of that sin is broken over our lives. The power of that thing, of that cycle, is broken. And now suddenly, because it's in the light, it's so much easier for us to deal with it. Are you with me still? So we see, and this is what he's aiming at here, saying, if when we're walking in the light and we're experiencing this kind of fellowship, we experience the power of the blood of Jesus in a very practical way. Yes, because the thing is, the blood of Jesus has paid for that thing. We know it, but we're still struggling with that cycle. But often I've experienced the moment we bring it into the light and we bring it into fellowship, that's when we see the power of that cleansing of the blood of Christ, and almost in a different, it manifests in a very practical way. Okay. And then he goes on and said, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I always, when I read this, I always wonder about the faithful and just. Well, I didn't notice it before, but, you know, why doesn't he say faithful and merciful, or, you know, faithful and loving? You know, that, any guys, that caught my eye some time ago. And he says faithful and just because God is fair, He's a just God, and He is faithful, and He has to be fair. So because Jesus has already paid the price, because He has already carried the penalty for our sin, if we are in Christ, God is just, He's fair, and He will not punish the same sin twice. He will not have somebody carry the punishment for something that has already been paid for. Are you with me? So that's why I believe, that's why he reckons this is, he specifically mentions faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But let's look at a little bit more at this whole idea of confessing our sins. If you want to read with me from James chapter 5. I'm going to read 16, 19, and 20. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So we see a few things happening here. Firstly, he refers to this confessing our sins one to another. And that's what I was talking about before. The place where we say, okay, I've had enough of this thing. I want to walk in the healing and the restoration that God has for me in the cross. And I'm going to go to somebody that I can trust, and I'm going to just bring it all out. You know, I'm going to I'll just spill the beans. You know, I'm going to get all of it out. And you know what? When we do that, when we confess our sins one to another, it's amazing how the Lord just delivers us from that burden. And as we bring it into the light, I was saying, now we're able to walk a road with someone to really receive the healing and the restoration that God has for us. But often we stay in that cycle, as I mentioned, and we try to figure it out, we try to fix it ourselves, and we kind of stay in that cycle. But it says here, we confess our sins one to another and pray for one another that we might be healed. So there's that ministry aspect as well. Not only do we want to walk in a transparency, not only do we want to bring the stuff to the light, but there's also a place where we can give and receive ministry. Okay, in this kind of relationship. And then it refers to the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man. And I want to really encourage us, you know, this is a season to step out in boldness when we pray for one another, when we cover one another in prayer. It's really a place we realize God has given us authority, He's prepared a place of authority for us. But to come to a place of almost wants the urgency to care for one another. You know, even I might have mentioned this last week, but I've just been reminded again this last week of, I did mention it, but just how real the enemy is out there, out to kill and steal and destroy. And you know, I just keep on getting this picture of God wanting us as the sheep and as a family to really watch each other's back. And to step into the gap for each other in prayer. And to really, you know, to ask God, Lord, I want to love my brother in such a way that I would notice firstly when something goes wrong and then have the boldness to do something about it. Okay? And this is I think a big part of the struggle is that we, you know, when we talk about accountability, there's always this thing, but who am I to tell Ellen, listen, Ellen, you know, that thing, it's not right, or you need to look out for that, or you know, you addicted to exercise, you need to do less or something like that, you know, or that point of actually coming so close to somebody that you say to them, listen, I want to have a chat with you, can we have a coffee? It might be nothing, I might have it wrong, but can we just sit and can we just talk about it, you know? And the key thing here for us is to recognize that if we indeed want to walk in the love that God has called us to walk in, then we're going to have those difficult conversations. We're going to have to say, okay, if it was a random stranger, I wouldn't have minded or it wouldn't have been a problem. Because this is my brother or my sister in Christ, this is the family, I'm going to have to do the difficult thing. And if I... You know, I think as parents we learn about this in a real way, because often everything surrounding discipline and everything surrounding putting your child on the right track, and I haven't got much experience, but I'm learning. But you know, you realize that all of that is definitely not convenient. It's not comfortable. You know, being consistent in disciplining, being consistent in what you establishing values in that little person's life. It's not comfortable. It's not convenient for you. It's definitely not. Definitely not comfortable. But that's exactly the point. Where you realize, listen, I love this little thing so much. I'm gonna lay down my own comfort and what's important, what I've experience has been important before, because I love this person. And I believe that's a big challenge that we have before us, is to come to grips with the fact that yes, God is calling us to a place of accountability, a place of walking in the light, a place of transparency, but it's going to take for us to take stock of where we're at in terms of our relationships. And some of us might experience it as uncomfortable to have those straight conversations with one another, but I've experienced personally when one does step out And when I kind of says, okay, let's just have a coffee, let's just talk about it, there's such a great grace on that conversation. There's because we're walking in the love of God. Because there's a real concern there. Because we're actually concerned for the family member and their growth in Christ and their relationship with God. And then this powerful picture of if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And you know that amazing picture of that, you know, you are seeing, listen, that guy's wandering in the wrong direction, or he's kind of straying from the fold, from the sheep fold, and us saying, well, we you know, let's run out there, let's get them back in, and get them back on track. And I believe as God gives us a boldness to step out and to make that phone call and to, you know, to have those conversations, I believe it's going to be amazing grace on our relationships, and we're going to see the love of God manifest in a very, in a powerful and practical way. And in terms of, you know, it's important. Let me just read this next bit in John chapter 15. If you want to read with me from verse 12, I want to just do 12, 13, 18, and 19. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Okay, now it's always a bit of a tough thing to hear, but this is one of the things Jesus was very straight with his disciples about. And often we're not as straight with people. When people want to come to Christ, or people are wanting to make a commitment to following Jesus, we often say, yes, you know, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be all rosy and sunshine all the way. And we forget, or we neglect to say, listen, Jesus actually guaranteed this is going to happen. He says, in this world, we will have tribulation. In this world, we're going to experience opposition. In this world, we're going to have people, we're going to experience an animosity against us because of our commitment to Christ. Okay, and that is a fact, and we've experienced that. And you might have experienced this personally, maybe not an official context in this country as in others. But you know, from my experience with believers who have come to Christ in a context where that decision can literally cost them their life, there's really a different quality there in terms of having made that calculation, if you understand what I mean, having sat down, having realized, listen, if this is not something I'm going to try out and hope for the best, this is not something I'm going to see if it works. You know, it's not like these bumper stickers. I don't know if you get them here. Try Jesus type of thing, like it's a medicine you try, or a vitamin or something like that. It's when they come to that decision in a context where this decision will definitely impact their life in a very real way, and could mean that they might lose their lives. You know, there's a different quality in that decision. And you, once or twice talking to believers, say in India, and especially in northern bits where there's some very militant Hinduism going on, and it's not something you see in the news every day, but those people are literally very, you know, it's violently persecuted for what they believe in. But it's so powerful to see, for instance, someone that has come from that background, come from a Hindu background, and you know, you ask some of them, how did you come to know Jesus? And I've spoken to more than, say, a handful of people now. I don't know how often this happens there, that have had an encounter with Christ. They've had a dream, or that Jesus appeared to them in some way, and when you talk to them, you can see, although this is a hectic decision he has made to turn from his faith and turn from his family, this person's life has been absolutely transformed. And they have got this conviction in them that no matter what comes against them, they know that what they've experienced. They know that this experience that they have had with Christ is real. And they know that Jesus has impacted their lives in a very real way. And now, in the same way, yeah, he's saying, yeah, my commandment is that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he says, he quantifies it in a way. He says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that is that context, or that dimension I was talking about, to the point where I realize, okay, when I cross this line that we haven't, you know, in our relationship, where I come to a point where when I can talk straight with somebody like Alan or whoever, I can say, listen, let's talk about this. I lay down the comfort, I lay down there's a place that I might be rejected, there's a place that, you know, friendship might get, you know, there might be a problem with, you know, some people might not receive it. That all of this stuff we lay down, as I mentioned with parenting as well, and we do this because we recognize that this is actually the love of God towards that person. If I really love them enough, I'm going to have this chat with them. If I really love them enough, I'm going to have, you know, have that coffee. I'm going to get up a little earlier and you know, cover them in prayer when they need it. And I just want to mention here that we often, when we talk about accountability, in the past we had in our small groups, we had specific accountability partners. I don't know if you had them here as well, but when I was a student, we had, you know, everybody had an accountability partner, and you know, we used to meet up with that person and you had to have those chats. And but then there was a time it was because I became what they call a zone coach, so my role changed in the small groups and I didn't have a small group. So I needed to have, I was under a conviction. I felt God saying, listen, you need to be accountable and you need to be, you know, and then I really didn't know who I need to be accountable to. But it was so cool because God showed me a specific guy. We didn't really know each other very well. We were kind of friends, but not very, you know, we didn't know each other that well. And I remember going up to him, and it was a bit awkward because normally, you know, when you're good friends, it's not a problem. You just tell, you know, it kind of comes naturally. But I remember going up to him and saying, listen, I need to be accountable. You know, would you mind, you know, walking this road with me? And it was such a blessing on the one hand because it was obviously in obedience to God. But even though that trust relationship wasn't established yet, because it is something that's on God's heart and because it's God's desire for us to walk in the light like this, I really experienced a great release there. And that we still have a great relationship and we can talk about anything. But I would really, really encourage us is that it definitely goes against what's natural. It definitely goes against what society says. You know, society says, no, nobody can tell you what to do. I do my own thing. I do it my way. You know, this is, nobody can tell me how I should do, you know, do life. But there's a boldness in saying, okay, I want to be walk in the love of God for my family in Christ. And that means I'm going to lay down this fear of rejection. I'm going to lay down this stuff that the world says I can't cross this line. Obviously, it goes both ways, okay? So there's also a place where we recognize, okay, I need to be accountable, and we put ourselves in that position. And then we also open to receive when that word comes, whether it's a word of correction or, you know, a slap of correction. Hopefully it doesn't get to that. But, and then very importantly, this doesn't only extend to struggles we go through, cycles we're struggling with, but specifically what I have on my heart for us is that we start being accountable about what are the things that God has entrusted to us. What are the things that you and I are trusting God for in our workplace this year? What are the faith goals we've put out for as a family? or as a small group, and maybe that's probably the best place to start for us in our small groups, to say, okay, this is what we believe God is telling us to do. These are the faith goals we're setting out, and now we need to keep each other accountable. Are you with me? So, you know, we can you're going to stay in the same place, and you can kind of stagnate for years and kind of just wallow in a kind of a comfortable place in your relationship with God. But in the place where we're at now, it's like God is saying, no, guys, I want you to hear from me, and then I want you to be stewards of that that I entrust to you. In your workplace, in your family, in where you live, in your community. Say, for instance, if Vicky feels she's going to trust God for the salvation of there's a specific teacher that she's building a relationship with at the school, and she feels God has laid it on her heart, this year is the year, then she needs to get a small group members around and say, listen, guys, this is what I feel God is saying, and I need you to pray with me. I need you to keep me accountable, because this is God's word for me, and I need to steward it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Same with, I want to grow in a certain area in my relationship with God. I want to, whatever, you know, whether it is in the word or serving, I mean, whatever it is, you know, certain things that God is challenging me with, this thing, and I'm growing in this area, so I need somebody to walk this road with me, okay? And that's exciting, guys, because I really believe that God has got amazing stuff prepared for us as a family, and I believe this is one of the keys that He wants to give us to say, okay, guys, we're gonna bring stuff into the light, we're gonna talk about things, we're gonna be accountable. Again, like I'm saying, it's not gonna be like on a Sunday and you're gonna have the mic and you're gonna tell us all your deep dark secrets, okay? It's not like that. It's in a secure environment. It's in a trust relationship where we can come to a place and say, this is what I'm trusting God for. This is dear to my heart. This is what God is, but I want to be accountable. I want to have somebody walk this road with me, okay? And then again, we see the context of, as we also saw with the wolves and the sheep picture, how why it is so crucial for us to actually to have this kind of love surrounding us, to be in a place where, you know, when we are experiencing resistance, where we are experiencing animosity from the world, that we have a safe place, we have a family, where we have an environment where it is safe, where we can be loved, receive and give love in a safe environment. I remember watching this thing on Oprah quite a few years ago, and it was something that happened, and she had a father and a son on the show, okay? And I don't remember every detail, but I remember what happened is they were in a lake or in a river or somewhere in Africa. Okay, and there was a crocodile attacked the boy, and I think he actually, yeah, he was dragging him down. What they do, the crocodile, you know, maybe I shouldn't get too graphic, but they drag the victim down and then kind of roll around right down there until obviously they drown or break their bones and things like that. So the crocodile was dragging this little boy down, and the father, you know, jumped, you know, dove in after them and swam down, and he wedged his arm into the jaws of the crocodile and basically forced open the jaws and to allow his son to get out. But in the process, obviously, he basically stuck his arm all the way into the jaws of this crocodile, and now he's sitting there on the show, and obviously he's got only one arm. Okay, so, but now, oh, you can see Oprah is kind of making sums here, and she's asking questions, but then she asks, you know, did you think, you know, how did it, what was going through your mind, and it was such a powerful moment, because you could see she's kind of wrestling with this fact, the understanding of the father's love, that he would put himself in harm's way in such a very real way to save the life of his son. That he, I mean, you could see I don't even know if he said it, but he said he wouldn't think about it. If he had to do it again, give up, lose a limb to save the life of his son, he wouldn't think twice. Not even bat an eyelid. And that's the love of a father. That's the love that God demonstrates towards us, where he makes the greatest sacrifice that we can imagine. But that is also the love, I believe, that God has put into our hearts, to a place where we would put ourselves into harm's way to look out for one another. Into harm's way in terms of where it costs us. Are you with me? Where it hurts, where it's not nice. But to a place where we say, listen, maybe I'll lose a limb here. Maybe I'm going to not be the same after this encounter. But I love you, and I'm operating in the love of God. And to save the life, it's 100% worth it. And that, I believe, there's a grace for us to walk in this love. There's a grace for us to boldly to care for one another in this way. And to care for not only for us, the ones in the family, but for those that need to join the family. Amen. For those out there that don't understand the love of God like this, that haven't experienced it, we are the only ones that can portray that to them. If you could stand with me tonight, we're going to just pray around this. So this evening, the key thing here, I believe, is that God has given us this commandment. Okay, but along with that, he's given us the power of the Holy Spirit, not to do tricks, not to impress anybody, but to live in the love of God and to manifest the love of God that he has poured out in our hearts. And tonight, I'm really trusting for us to just go from here and to embrace, to take a hold of the grace that is available for us to revise, but to take stock of our relationships. And guys, to be honest, I'm just going to pray in a moment, but to be honest, if we look at the body of Christ as a whole, we're not there yet, okay? We're getting there, and we see glimpses of it. And to be honest with you, yesterday I was at a farewell, and we were praying for, I suppose I can say, we were praying for Leodorf, because they're moving back, and it was such a blessing to see and to experience the prayers of the guys for him. And you could see this is not a, you know, great, go for it, enjoy, hope all the best, good luck type of thing. This is you could see there was a godly love and a godly concern and a kind of a something beyond just a buddy kind of relationship. And that is so precious. And so I really see this manifesting there. And I realized that Leodolf and Onda came over and they didn't know Christ. And in this family, they were saved, they came to Christ, they were born again, they got married. And you could see that many of the guys there had seen this whole process happening. And they were part of it. And they were there in the accountability, and they were kind of walking that road. And what was precious to me is I could see this love manifesting there. I could see they weren't just concerned for the practical things of the house or whatever. They were concerned about Anna and Leodolf walking in that call that God had called them, walking worthy of that call, walking strong in their calling and what God had called them to do. And there was such a beautiful picture there. And we see it now and again. But when we look at the greater body, we realize we're not there. Okay, so I want to encourage us. It's not a heavy one, but this is one where we can say, okay, Lord, your grace is sufficient for us, for you to establish this in our body, in our family, that we will love one another to a place where, yes, even if it hurts, we're going to care, we're going to look after each other, and we're going to love the world, and we're going to love those outside in the same way, when it's not comfortable, when it's inconvenient. Okay, and you know, it's one thing, different scripture says, one thing to lay down your life for somebody that you love and somebody that you know, but it's a different thing to do it for a stranger. So that's maybe the next step that we need to get to. But I want to encourage you that there's a grace for us, and there's a provision for us to walk in it. Okay, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we thank you that even though this is one that is going to take us humbling ourselves, God, and receiving your grace, we know, Father, that you're preparing us for an incredible season, Father. You're preparing us, and you're getting the army in place. You're getting the family ready for the harvest that you've prepared for us, God. And we want to embrace this word, Father. We receive it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the provision that you have made through your Son Jesus, that we cannot try and attempt this in our own strength, God, but that we can say, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit that is in us, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you put in our hearts, you fan this flame of love burning inside of us, Lord, that we would truly walk in the love of God that you have poured out in our hearts. I pray that we would love in that same jealous, passionate love with which you love us, Father. Oh Lord, I thank you, Lord, that this love would extend to the point where we would literally lay down our lives for one another, where we will lay down what's comfortable and what's easy, Father, and we would go the extra mile, Father, and we would put ourselves, as it were, in harm's way, Father, to a place where it hurts, God, but to a place where we can see your love manifest, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Father, that as we obey this command, we thank you that people will see and know that you are God and that we are your disciples. We thank you that people will taste and see that you are good and that your goodness will lead them to repentance, Father. Our Lord, tonight we humble ourselves, Lord. We know we're not there, Father, but we thank you that your grace is sufficient. We pray that you would establish this in our midst, Lord, that you give us the boldness to step out of our comfort zone and to obey that unction, Lord, that little voice that tells us, look, notice that, care for one another, Lord, and we want to be accountable, Lord. We want to be good stewards of the vision that you've given us, Lord. The people that you've given us to reach, God. And we pray that you'd even there, that we would keep each other accountable. Father, and tonight we take authority over every fear of man in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every fear of man. We bind every fear of rejection and every fear of failure in the name of Jesus. Everything that has kept us from walking in the light and has kept us from walking in transparency and accountability, we break that fear now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for your perfect love, God. As your word says, your perfect love drives out every fear. And right now, in Jesus' name, we receive again your perfect love by your Holy Spirit. You'll fill us afresh with your Spirit right now, God, in Jesus' name. And cast out every fear, God, in Jesus' name. And at the same time, we thank you for that boldness, Lord, to walk in it, Lord. To see it manifested. When we pray, when we minister to one another, we thank you, Lord, for a new boldness, God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that the world may know, Father. And I pray even this week, Lord, I thank you for opportunities, Lord. I thank you that even now as we pray, I thank you that you are laying specific relationships on our hearts, Lord, that we need to fix, Lord, or that we need to connect with that person, Lord, that we need to follow up, or we need to just come into the light with certain things, God. Lord, and we thank you. I thank you for a boldness to respond to this word. And I thank you for fruit, God. Fruit in our relationships. Fruit in the way that the world sees us, God. And fruit that will glorify your name. In Jesus' name. Amen.